Shall we pray?
Our merciful Father, once again, we return all glory and honor to you because of your favor that you have given us. We thank you because we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We are the ones that brought you down to the face of the earth for the purpose of redemption. We thank you because you have opened our eyes to see that we are included in your program of salvation. Thank you. Thank you for your blessings upon us in the morning and what your word has accomplished in our lives, which we believe, Lord, as your spirit continues to water the same, it will produce fruit of righteousness to the perfection of our lives, to the glory of your name. Bless us this evening once again. At the end, Lord, that all the glory and honor will be yours. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. I welcome us to evening service as we open the Bible to Isaiah chapter 53 that we read in the morning. Read from verse 1 to the end. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was a stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him, he has put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. Appreciate you for your prayers. Yes, I had a reason why I had to go to Pakatari in the morning. I didn't conclude on the arrangement of the Easter meeting with them. So I have to conclude that with them. So we will be here for the Easter meeting. Praise be to God. Yeah, that's we started in the morning. We continue with the masterpiece. There the prophets give us the story of the Michelangelo, how he was inspired to, he had a vision to sculpt an image of Moses, whom he had not seen. But he had a vision in his mind, and year in, year out, he was laboring, until finally he was able to have before him the image of Moses that he had in his mind as a vision. And the prophet said, the happiness, the joy of seeing what he had in his mind for a long time standing before him as a reality brought inspiration upon him. And that inspiration made him to take the hammer that was in his hand, the sculptor's hammer, you know, to look at Moses and say, this is the picture that I had in my mind all this time, and now I have it before me. And the prophet said he was so inspired that he took the hammer in his hand and hit that image on the feet, right feet, and, you know, caused a breakage. The prophet said he put his hand into it about six inches deep. And the prophet said many critics say that that was a flaw. The prophet, of course, and but the prophet made us to know that this flaw that people saw, to him, it was that flaw that made the monument of Michelangelo a masterpiece. That was made it because it was what he had in his mind that he has been laboring over the years, that he now, after carving it and finally having this very image standing before him, the work of his hands, what he desired to have standing before him. The prophet said that brought inspiration upon him. And he used the hammer in his hand to hit it on the feet, causing a dent. The prophet said, to me, the flaw was what made it the masterpiece. Now, maybe the mind, maybe to the mind that might think different, you think that spoils it. He said, no, to me, it made it what it was. It's because of after so many years of careful work and toils and inspiration and so forth of making it, his toil had proved not in vain. See, it was perfect. And that is why he cried out, speak. The prophet said he used the hammer to hit it on the feet, expecting Moses to speak, because it looked as if it was real before him. And he said, speak. But we know that the image cannot speak. But because it was real to him, and that was why he was inspired, took his hammer and hit it. The prophet said he didn't think. The prophet said if he had a second thought, he wouldn't have done it. And then it would be a masterpiece. And that's why the prophet told us that everything that comes by an inspiration is original. You see? Because they had been before him, it was perfect, and that is why they cried out, speak. Because he has seen before him that he had been able to achieve, to bring to pass the vision that was in his mind. And therefore, under the inspiration, he did something out of reason. He did it out of common sense. What ordinary, you know, people will not do after he has labored over this. He has labored and finally he has got it before him to now take command and spoil it again. People will come in and say, oh, this house, wonderful at these images. Look at the hole on the feet.
Look at the hole on the feet. You see? Under an inspiration, does something out of reason, out of the ordinary. He struck it and he hold it. Speak. So he wouldn't have done that if he had thought. But he didn't think. It was inspiration of seeing what he had in his mind, sitting there perfectly before him. His toils and wearies and long nights, and housed away from the wall for days, and maybe eating a sandwich and rub on it and get back. And no, that is just not the way it was. No, talking to himself, oh, no, I don't want it this way. No, at work. There will be musing to himself with soliloquizing, doing all sorts of things, because he was alone. After he has done it this way, this is not the way I want it. He will peck it here with the hammer and with the chisel, with the hacks and the rest of it, until finally he had it. And rubbing it, then when he saw it just perfect, then he was in reality. He saw in reality the negative of the what was in his mind had become real. He became positive. Therefore, it sprung into him. And it was so real that he cried out, "Speak!" To me, it was a reflection. It was a compliment to his work, the dent. That flaw, that breakage of the little part on the knee. Was. Thank God we have an artist here. I think he's looking at me very keenly. See? It was a compliment to his work that his own work so inspired him that he would become beside himself to smite it and to say, "Speak." If an artist finished drawing something and he takes a color and he just uses it to mark another place, what happened to the paint? Anybody will look at it and say, "Ojiba got to paint in general." But to another high, to an artist too, an artist that will appreciate that, because artwork is an abstract thing that is passing a message. And it's an experienced artist can come and tell you that that little paint here is a beauty. Has added beauty to that picture. And it will tell you the implication of that paint, even though the person that did it was a mistake. Every new version is a mistake of the tailor. Yeah. Because he has cut it off, he has said, what am I going to do? He will look for joining with it. And it becomes a version. And you see, the clothes we wear today, half of it white, half of it black. All together, no black, no brown. It was the mistake of the tailor. Well, sometimes there is good designer who will combine colors and the rest of it. But that just, by the way, the prophet said, "I stood there and I looked at the monument. I thought of the hours that the man must have put in making that. They said how many years it was." You see, it was a reflection to him because it was a contribution to his great heart, his great work of what he was doing. And when he finally was able to achieve it, it was so great. Now let us turn the page of Michelangelo and close the book. The artwork of man. Let's now reflect on, and let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the masterpiece. Did you get the something? Alright, it's when it's needed. I just already did it in the office there. Let's open the book and read the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundations was laid, he had in his mind what he wanted. And he wanted to make man in his own image. He wanted to make something in reality of what a vision to him was, a vision to him, what was in his thinking. Amen. Let me read from here. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I made reference to this sermon in the morning. Now God's secret, paragraph 102. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, God's secret mystery.
He had before the war began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve, and he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. It was God then. But he exactly wasn't God at that time. Paragraph 102. But he was exactly wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship, and there wasn't nothing to worship him. The prophet told us in the beginning, God was not God. It was after he had created the angels that will worship him. Those are the first thing that he created. That's when he became God. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love, in him was the to be father, in him was to be son, in him was to be a savior, in him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Right back behind his back, behind his mind in the beginning. So my opinion, the thing that he made were the angels. And then they worshiped him. And that made him God. You see? Until that time, he hasn't had the title God, but he was the creator, the El Elohim, the self-existing one, the one at no one that created him. A thought to think about how God came into existence will run a man mental. You will just think yourself out of the box. You can never fathom it. The prophet said, we are not called to believe it. We are not called to understand it. We are not called to understand it. We are called to believe it. That's the only thing to do. God exists. He exists. Because we usually sing that song, Obata Ori, Tarishe Owore, Oshubarere. Physically, we have not seen him. But we have the proof that he exists by the works of his hand. The prophet said, you want to see God in nature. The prophet said, the first Bible we read before he knew God was nature. So nature declares the glory and the majesty of God. For the heart that can understand that. It is the same nature that science look and say there is no God. Yeah. But we know. So that is how it's been. And so my opinion, the first thing that he made was angels. And when they worshiped him, and that made him God. And he started from there, as in previous messages I have tried to explain it, break it down. And now then, when the angels began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun. No moon, no stars, no nothing. Then he was God. Now, when during this period that the prophet is talking about here, and where who God was then and who he is now, there is no change. Do you understand? He has not added one value, neither has any value diminished from him. His understanding, his knowledge, his power, his ability, his grace, his love, his wrath, his judgment, still the same. His attitude to righteousness, his attitude on righteousness, still the same. He has not changed nothing. Because Malachi chapter 3 tells us, I'm God. I change not. So he had all. Everything in him. That was why the prophet told us that that was the great spirit that covered the entire universe. He only condescended into the pillar of fire and came down so that a human being would be able to have a little perception of who he is. The prophet said, no human mind can fathom that. He's so great for human being to be able to comprehend him. So he had to condescend to a level where he could come down to where man could see him. And that's the pillar of fire that we see there. The Logos. And that is the level he came into, began to create.
Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. And that's why John chapter 1 says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was in this realm. Praise be to God. So, he began to do that. And when angels began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There wasn't no sun, no moon, no stars, nothing. Then he was God. As he asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? See, when the morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. See, no, now where were you? See, that was way back before the earth. All sons and daughters of God, when in him then, we were in him then, even when he created the angels, we were in him. When he existed all alone and there's nothing worshipping him, we were in his thoughts. We were his attributes that he had in mind to bring to the face of the heart in form of a vision like the prophet described here, just like Michelangelo. The only difference between God and Michelangelo was that Michelangelo was a man. He had no more facilities to himself. He could not speak it into existence. He had to take him years to peck on this, get the materials together. But this one, even though he had designed his masterpiece to work on his masterpiece over a certain space of time, he could speak his masterpiece to existence once and it will stay. But he has a program that he will have to allow the masterpiece to be manned before he will continue working on the masterpiece. You know, and the rest of it. It's a wonderful drama of God. It's a wonderful story of redemption. If man will sit down and read this thing and understand it with the eyes of the Spirit, you will jump up to see how great Jehovah has come up to love you in the entire earth, over 7 billion human beings. To particularly think about you. To think about you. To send a message. And the message, one way, somehow, this message got you located. Somehow. Oh. Now, God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning. Well, this is not morning. The hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind before the world ever began, and how that it is unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we are living. See, then you will understand clearly. Then you see on, I believe, what has been done. God's great mystery of how it is a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See, he didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Jesus, when he was on earth, they wanted to know when he would come. He said, he's not even the Son of Man. Don't know when it's going to happen. See, God had this all to himself. It is a secret. And that's the reason there was silence in heaven for a space of an hour. Half hour, and seven thunders uttered their voices, and John was even forbidden to write it. See, the coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet, of how he will come. And when he comes, it is a good thing that he does. In other words, he doesn't show it to us. Now what he's saying here is scriptural. According to Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, in the days when the seventh angel shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God shall be what? Shall be finished. That has been accomplished. The path, remember the revealing of the word still had to be scriptural. It still has to be what is, has to follow the pattern that is laid. And remember, the prophet told us that God follows his pattern. Jesus Christ was asked about the day that he was going to come, when the Son of Man will return to the face of the earth, which is the very day rapture will take place. That's the question that they were asking him. He told them that that one is less than the Father. It is not known by the angel that is the Son of Man. Flesh.
The flesh.
They didn't know it. Because he was the eternal spirit. I was dwelling in him. He keeps the secret to himself as the eternal spirit. He's not going to talk about it because we have been told by the prophet that if that day has been released, the devil will do have work. But that is the day that Jesus Christ also jumped in talking about the seals. And that does not mean that the seventh seal was not revealed. The part of it that is not promised to be revealed is that day. That's the day that the rapture will take place, that Jesus is coming. That's the only day, and we are not interested in knowing it. Because God is not interested in showing it to us. So if what God is not interested, you can't poke into God's mind to go and bring it out. No matter how much they want to say that the seventh seal is not revealed, it's because they lack revelation. The seventh seal is in part. It's just that alone. That is not known because it's in the scripture. He says, don't write it. One of the messenger now come and say that he will. Abraham said, I saw his head, but I'm not going to say anything about it. Are you following that? You can read the seventh seal. Those things were passing before him. But he said, I have to stop here. He said, I don't have to say anything for that. As a prophet, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We are grateful to God that we are following a true vindicated prophet, not human idea. The message is the nature of the message is continuous. Maybe you understand what I'm saying. It is sequential. It follows. It's like a chain. You move from this, you get into this, you move from this, you get into this, you move from this, you get into this. There is no discontinuity. And there is no human knowledge that can be that perfect. There is no gimmick that any human being can play. There is no manipulation that any man can do. That we do it in such a way that the message that we carry is so perfect that the knowledge of man can, that will be credited to the knowledge of man. We know it's the divine hand of Jehovah. Most times I think about it myself. I say, most of this in the prophet does not forget. And there are things that were revealed to him. Then you can see the importance of revelation. He didn't learn it to anybody. He didn't go to school to read it like we went to school and read and we reproduce what we have read. It was revealed just like Paul. It was revealed to him. Now when it was revealed to him, it became part of him. And that is why if the message is also revealed to you, if it's revealed to me, it becomes part of me. My life will blend with it. And that's why the Abraham lived the life he lived. It's because of the pure word that came to him. So it was not his idea or opinion in any form. Because idea and opinion of man will fail at a point. Look, if you are lying, a point that will be a time that you forget you are lying. And you will say the truth at a point. And when you realize you have said the truth, you know that your balloon has been punctured. Human being cannot keep, you have to keep lying to keep lying. And you have to be conscious of it. It means that every time you have to be thinking, if they are going to ask you something about this, you have to be conscious of what you are going to say about anything. But, you know, human beings will forget that they have lied somewhere here and they say, someone going to somebody by any way, going to do something. Actually, it's true. You know? But God is the one that can present this message the way it has come. Blending. So continuous. There's no break. There's nothing that is contradictory, except we don't have revelation of what he said. That is when you see contradiction there. But he has a vision in his mind, what he wants to achieve, right when he was there. And for our good, and for our joy, he saw that you will be sitting like this today, 17th of March, 2024. And in his program, his design is so well that I will be here also in the evening. Not human plans. If it has been previously planned earlier than this, it won't work. Because he didn't see it like that. It's the way he has seen it. Because right from his mind, he had me all that he will do. And he still is with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is why the saints have assurance, have security of salvation.
Praise be to God.
God's great mystery of how it is a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody knew nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand it. See? Okay. I think we are past that. Yeah. He has showed or revealed it in every time that is in the Bible. All the mystery that he kept to himself was once while revealed in Moses. He revealed it when he introduced sacrifice through the blood of animal, meal offering, sin offering, what do you call it? All the offerings there. God was the one reflecting that. He was reflecting his program of redemption, of forgiveness, process of forgiveness of sin. He was reflecting it in the Old Testament. But no man could catch it. It's only now we see. And the prophet also made us to know that even in the seven churches, the first church, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the prophet said the messenger did not know themselves. They did not know that they were the messengers. Only inspiration came on them. But Abraham said, it is now we know it. Because God began to point to the prophet, these are the role that this one played in this age. This is the role that this one played in this age. For what? Because God has come to the end of the thing. Now he has to now come and show us this is what has been all along. Praise be to God. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. What is that goal? Redemption. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. One purpose. Redemption. To have a man as his image that will live with him eternally, with whom he will fellowship. See? And all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in time. You see, the heart of Moses, the heart of Elijah, the heart of Elisha, the heart of all the prophets, the believers, David, and all their activities, all that they did, every other thing, they were all the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in time and expressing what the goal is. Oh, and now in this last day, he has revealed it and showed it. And God's head, we will see it right here, money, what the Lord has had in his mind all along and has expressed it. That was in the sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Praise be to God. Now, from the message to the Laodicean church, preached in 1958, June 9, 580609. Paragraph 21. Every divine promise in the Bible is yours tonight. If the faith of God knocks at your heart, then you can have it. Why will we weary? Why will we try to say, well, I'm just afraid it don't happen? How can we ever comprehend that in our mind when the King of Glory promised it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear me and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. And now this is the reason why I read that. Now, sup here means to commune or fellowship. Jesus wants fellowship. That is what God's heart longs for tonight. He longs for it in Dallas and in every place in the world. He longs for fellowship. What he craves for, what God craves for, is fellowship. In his mind. Praise be to our God. Now, to Michelangelo, that was an attribute of his thought. He wanted to make a man after his image, the great sculptor. And he went to work on him. Notice as he brought up from the materials, the first perhaps were fishes, and then the birds. We are back to the masterpiece. The first perhaps were fishes, and then the birds, and then the creeping things upon the earth, and many things that he brought. But finally, as he brooded of being creator, he wasn't like a man, now a sculptor that has to take something that has been created to hew an image. He was not like Michelangelo that has to get a material to hew and then to get, you know, his image expressed before him. He was the sculptor of things. He could speak things into existence. He could start of existence. What he didn't want, he can speak out of existence. What he wants, he can speak it into existence. There is nothing limiting God's power. There's nothing. Nothing can say, no, you can't go beyond this level to God. There is no power, nothing that can limit him and say, no, you cannot do this for this person. You cannot deliver this person on that day. We have an example in the Old Testament where a woman was afflicted by the devil. She couldn't stand up. This house she was working. And Jesus Christ brought her before the people, the Pharisees and the rest of them. Maybe that was even on a Sunday. Sabbath day, I mean to say. And he brought the woman before them. And the Pharisees were already blinking their eyes because they knew what he was going to do. He looked at them and said, is it good to do good on Sabbath day? Should this daughter of Abraham not be delivered? As for them, they didn't want him to deliver that woman. They wanted the woman to remain under affliction. Look at evil spirits. Look, we are grateful to God that deliverance is in his hands. No man, in fact, he doesn't take counsel from people. And that's one good thing about God. He does what he wants to do for you. He delivers who he wants to deliver. He blesses who he wants to bless. He lifts up who he wants to lift up. And he abases who he wants to abase. As long as the person qualifies for being abased. He take counsel with no man. Because he's sovereign. Oh, what a good God we serve. He was a sculptor that could create and bring into existence that which he had in his mind to do. Or otherwise, he can make materials what the attributes desires. And as he began to work upon creeping things like upon the little animals upon the earth, and then he began to bring it from that into something higher, something else higher. Then finally, he brought it into the larger animals, such as the lion, tiger, bear. Then he brought it into the life of maybe of monkeys and apes and so forth. Now, not an evolution as we think that one came from, that was a complete creation. God walking in a pattern. There's nothing like evolution there. It's just a theory from the canary brain of human being. We have seen that it does not blend with the rest of the theories. There are theories that run contrary to it. There are some theories that run contrary to it. Even looking at all those theories of creation and the rest of it, there are some theories that run contrary to it. There's a catastrophic theory. There's the theory of a big bang theory, and there are other theories of creation. That a deep study of them will show you that there are certain things that evolution talks about that, it doesn't blend. Human beings, the knowledge of human beings is so limited. It's so limited. But finally, there came forth upon the earth a perfection. Because this God also had in his mind what he wanted to achieve. Now the reason the angels, the creation of the angels, the creation of the angel was not his target. No. The creation of animals, the birds, these days and the rest of this, they were not his idea. I mean, they were not his target. That was not his focus. Because he's not going to fellowship with birds. He's not going to fellowship with fishes in the sea. He's not going to fellowship with lions. He will not be fellowshipping with cattle and the rest of them. He will not be fellowshipping with them. Even the angels are not fellowshipping with him, because they only worship him. The worship the angels give to him is different from the worship that the redeemed give to him. Yes. The worship that he desires from us. In fact, we are told that a saint is greater than an angel. A son of God is greater than an angel. The prophet taught us that. You know? Let's value ourselves. See how valuable you are in the sight of God. That he will design a great program to include you, so that you can fellowship with the King of Glory. Not only that, to live eternally with him. See? But finally, there came forth upon the earth a perfection, and that was a man. And then you could see in that man that he looked like him. Of course, we know what we are taught in the Bible as regards that. That looked like him. So now when he looked upon him, he was a reflection of what his creator was. God had now been able to achieve the thing that he wanted, a man in his own image. Praise be to God. He wanted to make a man after him. Now let's look at a little thought here. Let me see if I could just get it. Alright. Now you know that in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over this, over that, over that. And in Genesis chapter 22 verse 5, and the Bible says there was no man to till the land or till the soil. Was that a contradiction? No. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, man has already been, God has said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And then in Genesis chapter 2 verse 5, and the Bible said there was no man to till the soil. And every plant of the field, before it was in the heart, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord has not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And in Genesis chapter 1 verse 7, he said, let us make man in our own image after likeness. Let us reflect on that a little bit. In the message, a five definite identification of the true church of the living God, from paragraph 176, the prophet said, when God, now we are told also that the critics, they look at that to tell us that the Bible is going forth, going back. The Bible is not, is contradicting itself. He's repeating itself. That the Bible is repeating itself. The prophet said, no. It is lack of understanding. Alright? The Bible, the word in Genesis 1 said in the beginning, God, take the name God in the Hebrew and see what it means. It's spelled Hel, El Elohim, which means the all self-existing one, the all-sufficient one, the strong one. There was nothing before that. Onlowa kayeto wa.
There was nothing before that. There was no air. There was no star. There was no moisture. There was no atmosphere. There was no atoms. There was no molecule. There was nothing before that. It was God, the eternal one. And in him were attributes to be our Savior, to be our Father, to be God. There, it wasn't God then. It was God. It was God, but that wasn't nothing else to worship. No worship. So God is an object of worship, and there was nothing to worship him. So there were attributes in him to be that, to be a Savior, to be a healer, to be all these things that he is. So the first thing he created, now some of you know, some of you want to know about my Genesis story. God said, let us make man. The first thing he created were angels to worship him. Then he became God. Then when he said, let us make man after our own image, what kind of a man did he make? Spirit man. That's Genesis 1:27. He made a spirit man. The man that was not in flesh. That man was not in flesh. He was a spirit man, leading the animals and the rest of them. But it was not feasible, because it was the image of man. God is a spirit. John chapter 4 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him was worshiping in spirit and in truth. So the man that God created was a spirit man that you could not feasibly see, because you can't see a spirit. So he was there in the Garden of Eden. Nobody there. Yes. Then when he made the man, he gave him, let us make man after our own image. What kind of a man did he make? Spirit man. Then when he made that man, he gave him control. Then he made man out of the dust of the earth. So as at Genesis chapter 2 verse 5, God hadn't put man in the flesh. That was why the Bible said there was no man to till the soil. Man in flesh, but there was a man in spirit. And the prophet told us this Adam in spirit was both masculine and feminine. He had the spirit together. So when God put him in flesh, it was both masculine and feminine that was in flesh, that was Adam. So he was working with masculine, with feminine spirit in him as a man. His wife was inside of him. That's the meaning of that. Eve was in him in spirit form. So now when he made that man, he gave him control. Then he made man out of the dust of the earth. Then he fell. If he had not put man in flesh, the man could not fall. Yes, it's a great drama of Jehovah. The prophet told us that he had attributes in him. If those attributes were in him, the only way those attributes will be manifested, that we know him as a Savior today, that there will be a fall. Because hence there will be no sinner. And if there was no sin, sickness will not come. If there was no sin, death will not come. So his attribute as the resurrection and the life that gives us hope after we pass out of here will not have been. Of course, nobody will die. We will know him as a healer, because there will be no sickness. But he allowed that to be so that he can express his attribute as a healer, to heal us of our sicknesses. Just like we read in Isaiah chapter 53 here. He said, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. Then he made man out of the dust of the earth. Then he fell. Then he became our Savior. To save the man. To redeem him. It was all this program. I am a God, then a Savior. Sin brought on sickness. Then he become a healer. Hallelujah. There hasn't nothing going wrong. He know all about it before the world was ever born. So whatever level of sickness that anybody is passing through, the promise of Jehovah is there. It's there. We always appeal. You know, sometimes I used to say that it's an opportunity for God to express his attribute as a healer. When we have sickness, opportunity for Lord Latin Fiagbara, when we are sick. And that has always been the testimony of everybody. After sickness, we come back, you know, after we are healed, we come back to come and testify. That praise God, I was sick, I was this, and when I was prayed for, I was healed. Isn't it?
That's the attribute God wants to express. He's expressing that in your life, and he's expressing that the Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, is when you are in need and you call upon him and he provides for you, you have testimony that the Jehovah Jireh, he has expressed his attributes in your life. But most times it's not palatable to witness it. Sickness, when we are in need, when we are in hurt, when we are in problem, this and this and this and this. But we have to appeal to him in the attribute that he has promised. Praise be to God. Then a savior sin brought on sickness, then he became a healer. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong. He knew all about it before the world was ever formed. You see, he knew every gnat will ever be on the earth, and how much tallow it will make, and how many times he will beat his eyes. He is the infinite God. He knows all things. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that your name is on the book? Now from the sermon, God's power to transform. Paragraph 40. I think many times when evil critics begin to read the Bible of the book of Genesis, they begin to criticize it because it seems like it constantly repeats itself or throws you out here and there, going back and going forth. Just like we said, Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2 verse 5. God created man, and he gave them dominion over the sea, and he said, go and replenish and do every other thing. Only to come in chapter 2 and talk about every other and say, there is no man to till the soil. Going back, going forth. The problem is that critics, they think that. But if we will just notice for a moment before we go into our text, that Moses saw the vision and God spoke to him. God spoke to Moses face to face, lip to ear. Now he never spoke to any other man like that as he did Moses. Now Moses was one of the greatest of all the prophets. He was a type of Christ. And now God can speak. He has a voice. He's been heard. God can speak. And God can write. God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. He wrote on the walls of Babylon once with his finger. He stooped down and wrote in sand one time with his finger. God can speak. God can read. And God can write. God is the fountain of all grace and power, and of all divine wisdom is in God. So therefore, knowing that he is the only creator there is no other creator but God. Satan cannot create all at all. He only perverts what's been created. But God is the only creator. Therefore, he created by his word. He sent his word, so all the seeds that he had placed upon the earth, he formed those seeds by his own word. For there was no nothing else to make the seed out of. Papa never existed until God said, let there be. Yes. The earth was without form. Nothing was there. His creative power created the seed and put them in the soil. The type of seed, the great intelligence of Jehovah. When God said, let there be purple, it was this purple he had in mind. Let there be orange. Let there be grape. Let there be this. He can say, let citrus come, plant come with a different species. He could say that. And you just see them springing up. You just see them springing up. All God needed to do was to speak. God is so great. Oh. Mo dupe pe mo mo Olorun. I thank God I know him. Thank God you know him too. That is the final appeal. That's the final court where you can go to an appeal. Any situation. That's the Supreme Court to the believers. And when you go to the Supreme Court, your case is considered. Because the Supreme Court is established for your case, for your purpose, in your favor. Amen.
Oh, we are so grateful to God.
Then we come to find out there was no... Okay, no. Have we jumped?
For there was nothing.
Yeah, verse paragraph 44. Please, just bear with me. Let me finish. Jesus of Nazareth. Therefore, he created by his word. It's been a long time I was here. So, I thought I would spend 3 hours, 4 hours at the go. Therefore, he created by his word. He sent his word. So, all the seeds that he had placed upon the earth. Remember, we are trying to answer the question. Sorry. Placed upon the earth, he formed those seeds by his own word. For there was no nothing else to make the seed out of. He had placed them, and they were beneath the water. He just said, let there be this, and let there be that. Now, we find out that many times it took, like the Bible repeating or saying something to what he doesn't say. For instance, in Genesis 1, we find that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created him. And then he goes on, many things happen upon the heart. Then we come to find out there was no man to till the soil. Then God created man out of the dust of the earth. That was a different man. Not different from Adam. It's the same Adam in a different body. Now in flesh. The first Adam in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 was a spirit Adam. Now he now put that Adam now in flesh. Where you will have hands. You will have legs. You have eyes. Like the rest of the beasts. Then we come to find that there was no man to teach. So then God created man out of the dust of the earth. That was a different man. And he breathed the spirit of life into him. And he became a living soul. The first man was in the image of God, which is spirit. John 4 says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God is a spirit. The first man that he created was spirit man. And he was in the image of and in the likeness of God. God is a spirit. And then he put the man in flesh. A man fell. Okay? So then God came down and became in the image of man that he might redeem that fallen man. That is the story of Michelangelo. Praise be to God. God created man, a spirit being, but then later, so that he can till the soil and continue. To make the fall also possible, God put him in the flesh. It was after he was not in the flesh that he was alone. That he looked as if the Bible says, and the man was alone. He had no helpmate, nobody to fellowship with, only with God. But in him was the feminine spirit, and God put him to sleep. By the grace of God, we continue with this at another opportunity. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads. Let's reflect on this. Let's reflect on this. Yeah. Let's reflect on these things. The great God that has given us the privilege to associate with Him, to know Him. The being that we can call our God. The one that we can call our Savior. The one that we can call our friend. That we can call our Father. Our Master. Our Guide. Our Shield, our Buckler, our Provider. Our Righteousness. Our Healer. Our Provider. The great love that He has in His mind. The great program that we didn't know anything about. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love that God should love us in such
yourself. How wonderful is love like this.
Listen to these songs as I read them in the mode of prayer. That God should love a sinner such as I, should not to change my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till He a plan to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this, that Christ should join so freely in the scheme, although it meant His death on Calvary. Did ever human tongue find no blessing than love divine that ransomed me? That for a willful outcast such as I, the Father planned, the Savior bled and died. Redemption for a worthless left to buy, who long and law had grace defy. And now He takes me to His heart, a son. He helps me not to feel a servant's place. The fire of wanderings are all I done. Why open His arms of grace? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Will you want God to reveal Himself to you the more? So that you can appreciate Him better. You can surrender to Him more and more. So that He can work more in your life. So He can reflect His attribute as a Savior, as a deliverer, as a healer, as a provider, as a guide, as all in all to you. If that's your desire, you can lift your hand while I ask the servant of God to pray for us.
Love of God is greater far than tongue of can never tell. It goes beyond the highest and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His yearning child He reconciled and pardoned for His sin. Oh, love of God, how measureless and strong. He shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. I am only Father. We thank You because by the great God Almighty, there is no other God that can be likened to You. You have no comparison, Lord. You have no equal, Heavenly Father. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Thank You, Heavenly Father, for this plan of redemption, O Lord. when you had us in mind before the foundation of the world, oh God of all glory and grace, when you made that substitute in the Garden of Eden, of that innocent lamb that was slain because of the sin of mankind, you had Jesus Christ in mind, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. We are in, O Lord our God in heaven, you wrote our names in that Lamb's book of life that can no more be removed. That we are grateful unto you for revealing your plan of redemption unto us in this closing moment of time. Realizing that it's not going to be any other age but this, O Lord. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord, which can happen any moment. Father, we thank you for such love, such wondrous love. Almighty and ever living Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray, O Lord our God, that you take this precious word, may you plant it into the hands of, to the heart of every one of us, Almighty God, as many as have not yet known you. We plead for mercy through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and Father, the spiritual opening of their eyes, O Lord our God. May you do it in a supernatural way, Lord. That Father God in heaven, sin, O Lord, we be, O Lord, our God, like a gift before their eyes. Help everyone, O Lord. We thank you and bless your name. For your children, you have made yourself manifest unto in this closing of time. Thank you. That's why we can fellowship around this glorious revealed word of God for the hour. We are grateful unto you. It's not our own making. It is simply your grace. Because of your election, by your foreknowledge and predestination before the foundation of the world unto eternal life. Help us, Father, to love you better than this. Take away the desires of the world, the love of the world, and things of the world out of our lives in the name of Jesus. May you purge us of those things, O Lord, as many who think, O Lord, that God calls themselves believers, as not be purged, Heavenly Father. May you do something special this hour. May no one go out of this place, Heavenly Father, the same they came in, O Lord our God. Both old and young, men and women, boys and girls, middle age, O Lord, walk upon every soul, Lord. We appreciate you for your grace upon your servant. We pray, O Lord, that God in heaven, may this word of God not return to you, for it cannot return back, because it is your program, Lord, and nothing can defeat your purpose in the life of your children. Blessed be your name forevermore. We go here out of here, O Lord my God, with a light heart, O Lord, rejoicing in thy salvation. To God be the glory for what you have done, and for what the power of darkness has been broken. Father God, help, because on the cross of Calvary, that day, O Lord our God, you broke the power of Satan. You exposed him, O Lord. Father God, you deflated him, Heavenly Father. We thank you very much, O Lord. Glory be to your name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Lord, we worship you. So many hands, O Lord, whether for the dedication of life, O Lord, we pray for grace to live, O Lord, a higher life in Christ Jesus than we were before, Lord. We are facing the weak. Oh Lord, may you be with us, Lord. Like we had the sermon on Friday in His presence, at work, at school. May you help the students, Heavenly Father. May you break the power of the sin of unrighteousness. This carnal evil spirit, oh Lord, may you destroy it in their lives, oh Lord. Almighty Father, when we are faced with temptation, may we know that Jesus Christ is before us, oh Lord. May we not be confused like David was not confused, O Lord. Say, because it's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. May none of us be moved, Heavenly Father. May there be a wonderful, glorious testimony of the outcome of this service. Throughout, replenish your servant of the virtue that's gone forth out of him. Thank you very much, O Lord, God, for such a gift of God in the body of Christ. We pray for more grace, Lord. Lift him higher and higher, and lift up the smith and that of others, O Lord, to the glory and honor of your name. We pray, O Lord our God, the blessings of today, right from the Sunday school to the morning and evening service, may be our portion. May the blessed ever remain permanent, Heavenly Father. May we meditate upon these things. Grant it, O Lord, like we have warn and admonish, we should never play over this world, we should never laugh over it, we should never eat over it, we should never sleep over it. May we keep pondering over it, for your word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed be your name, O Lord. As we face, O Lord our God, the trials of the weak, every problem of the weak, give us victory through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Almighty Father. Lord, be with your servant, O Lord, at home, Heavenly, may you touch him, O Lord. You've already done it, O Lord. It's a finished work on the cross of Calvary. Master, one more time, may we see the full manifestation of that finished work on the cross of Calvary, because it's already finished. Thank you very much, O Lord. Blessed be your name. We know the devil is already a defeated foe. Raise him up, O Lord. The devil can never put back this illness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Master. In no distant time, O Lord, he will come back, O Lord, behind his sacred desk again and proclaim this glorious gospel of the kingdom. Thank you, our Master. If there are some, O Lord, my God, as he's on his way back home, take him back home safely, O Lord, to have a reunion with his family and the church. Till we meet again on Wednesday, may the man of God's law overflow us, Lord. Thank you, our Master. We go to different places, far and near, O Lord, may no evil whatsoever befall us, O Lord. Through public transport in our private vehicles, whether riding on Okada, whether riding on bodies, O Lord, taxis, see us through, Lord. Even in our private vehicles, have your way, Master. Even trekking home, be with your people. Thank you, our Master. Bless the businessmen, O Lord. Bless the business women, O Lord. Bless your people in their place of work, O Lord. May we come to find favor before you, Lord. You are our promotion, and the promotion of your children is not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, nor from anywhere. It's from you. May you be the one promoting your children. Thank you, our Father. May you come to rebuild the devourer for us. And when you are rebuilding the devourer for us, O Lord our God, not spending our money for hospital bills, for drug bills, O Lord, for anything, O Lord our God, police, O Lord, necessarily help us, our Father, to be faithful in everything we are doing, to put God first in all things. Hallelujah be unto you. We rejoice in thy salvation. Glory be to your name. Thank you for the deacons. Thank you for the trustees. Thank you for the instrument users. Thank you for the song leaders. Thank you for the computer operators, engine operators, our brother in the broadcasting room. May you replenish them, O Lord, of the virtues that has gone forth out of them. Thank you, our Master. Till we come back again on Wednesday, see us too, Lord. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' wonderful holy name, we pray with faith and with all thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Come back, sir. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's close the service. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Let me try and see. Is it 8 something? Let me see. Oh, 8:55. Let's stand up and worship the Lord joyfully with our grateful hearts. Amen. Oh Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us teach thy law for possessing triumph in redeeming grace. Oh,
door.